A jagged flash of golden light zigzags across a silver sphere, the logo of Touchstone Pictures. Touchstone Pictures presents a Mark Gordon company, Hallstrom Holleran production. A film by Lasse Hallstrom. Heath Ledger, Sienna Miller, Jeremy Irons, Oliver Platt, Lena Olin, Omi Jalili, Stephen Greif, Ken Stott, Helen McCrory, Lee Lawson, Tim McHenry, Charlie Cox, Natalie Dormer, Phil Davis, in Casanova. In a candlelit room, an old man sits at a table strewn with sheets of paper, writing with a quill pen.
10,000 pages. My life and loves. That's just about one woman for every page. Oh, God, I'm tired. But there is one story I haven't put down. Francesca. That's a story which isn't mine to tell, really. So keep it to yourself.
It is night. A woman rows her young son to her mother's house on an island in the Venetian lagoon. The boy stands a little apart as his mother and grandmother talk.
For how long?
I don't know how long.
It's a man, and you're a whore.
I'm an actress.
What's the difference?
The boy's mother stands.
Giacomo.
And puts on her cloak.
You be good for your grandmother. Now you know I love you very much, Mama.
She hugs him tearfully.
Listen to me. Look out there. Now one day, go back to Venice, and I'll return for you. I promise.
And rows away.
I promise.
The boy's grandmother.
She means when I am dead.
She hands Giacomo a bowl of soup.
It's not her fault. It's in the blood. A heat for love. Irresistible.
As the boy repeats the word irresistible, his face rapidly matures, and as a handsome 24-year-old at a concert, he casts a speculative eye at a young woman in a blonde wig, fanning herself. He sits with another woman as she plays the harpsichord. The woman smiles sensuously as he nuzzles her neck. Later, they're making love in her bed. The woman hears a noise and sits up. Another woman sits up. Giacomo Casanova flees the married woman's bedroom, and she lies back demurely on her bed. A covered gondola glides under a bridge along a narrow canal, and the feet of a man and two women protrude from the windows of the gondola's canopy. Production designer David Gropman, director of photography Oliver Stapleton, BSc. Executive producers Sue Armstrong, Adam Merrims, and Gary Levinson. Produced by Mark Gordon, Betsy Beers, and Leslie Holleran. Story by Kimberly Seamy and Michael Christopher. Screenplay by Jeffrey Hatcher and Kimberly Seamy. Directed by Lasse Hallström. Venice, 1753. The notorious lover Casanova is among a crowd watching a masked comedy on a stage erected in St. Mark's Square.
Your husband is the luckiest man in Venice and doesn't know it.
And it's lucky he's not in Venice.
Oh, sweet darling. I love you like no other. You are my dreams come true.
Please, please make love to me again. Casanova, tell me I'm the only one.
Of course. I always do.
Oh, no.
Darling, I'm home.
My husband.
The stage Casanova hides behind a screen.
I know Casanova well. It's just like him.
The real Casanova smirks.
Has the Iceman come yet?
Yes. And he comes again tomorrow.
In his candlelit palazzo, Casanova sits with a young woman.
Don't believe what people say. I don't conquer. I submit. I've never sought glory as a lover.
Well, what then, Signor Casanova, do you seek?
A moment that lasts a lifetime.
He holds her in his intense gaze.
So, tell me, this unusual order of nuns you belong to, is it a very strict order?
He pops some fig dipped in cream into her mouth.
Very. No. Jewels or nice clothes before
no.
sundown and back in our cells by... Oh, heavens, is that the time?
Don't have to go.
Oh, I must. It's been delightful, only I...
Only...
How do I know you're really Casanova?
The Inquisition is here looking for you.
No!
He leaps off the girl's bed.
Quick, if they catch you, they'll hang you.
He grabs his clothes and flings them on with practiced dexterity.
Dekama, wait. Tell me I was the one.
You are the one.
He kisses her passionately outside the cell door. Another nun kisses him.
You won't forget me, will you?
Oh, I could never...
Wearing only one shoe, he races along a polished corridor with a nun at each cell door. One hands him a handkerchief. As he runs to the top of the stairs, he sees a phalanx of guards running up the stairs. His eyes search for an escape route, and in stockinged feet he skitters along another corridor, holding the lacy handkerchief in his teeth like a dog with a bone. He clambers through a window. He tiptoes along the apex of a tiled roof like a tightrope walker. The guards burst into the cell of his latest conquest, who's kneeling in prayer.
Where is Casanova?
I've taken a vow of sight.
The Inquisitor finds Casanova's shoe.
Eternal damnation for one night with Casanova.
With a dark glare, the man leaves.
Seems fair.
Up above, Casanova has clambered onto another roof. Below him, the guards in tricorn hats are climbing out of the window and following in his footsteps along the top of the tiled roof. Above them, Casanova picks up his speed, but they're gaining on him. One man slides down the tiled roof and lands in a canal below. Casanova overbalances and falls. He slides down to the edge of the roof and almost topples over. Seeing his pursuers right behind him, he takes a flying leap. Landing on the balcony of the next door building. He pulls himself up into a window. His pursuers watch helplessly from the other roof ledge. His eyes dart round to see where he is.
...of study by the most respected thinkers of our time, including myself. I'm not old-fashioned in this matter. I do not say a woman's place is at the hearth and in the bed. What I do... Of course, it is their place. What I do say... is let them be educated at home. On the higher planes of science and philosophy, women serve only to distract us, to bring us down to our earthly appetites. So I say, no woman shall ever set foot inside this university.
The all-male audience wear black caps and robes.
Let my opponent take the floor.
The speaker steps down from the lectern.
And now Dr. Giordano of Padua.
Dr. Giordano whips off his full-bottomed wig and moustache.
Too late, gentlemen. Let me show you who is bringing whom down to earth. A woman is air and fire and lightness and strength. Like this little vessel.
A small hot air balloon.
That would rise up to heaven were it not held down by ballast. Bags of sand. The dead weight of men with their heads full of sand.
Only a woman would argue by this demonstration of a toy. It would never strike the superior intellect of a man, or I'll eat my words.
Eat these briefs, Signor Bonetto, for these are the words of the philosopher Bernardo Guardi, who is said to live in this very city, I believe.
Bernardo Guardi. That madman. Wait until the Inquisition catches up with him.
Call him a madman, but he has more understanding of women than any man in this room. And I'll wager he has better luck with them in bed as well.
Casanova's intrigued.
There he is! Over there!
With his pursuers coming at him from both sides, Casanova, his wig jammed messily on his head, turns this way and that before going straight down the middle, jumping from row to row of the high-walled circular chamber. As he topples over the balustrade of the upper floor, he grabs the toy hot air balloon and parachutes down, landing in a heap.
Hold him!
The female doctor and the male academics watch open-mouthed as Casanova is led away on the order of the stern-faced Inquisitor.
Gentlemen, my apologies.
Dr. Giordano smiles wryly.
You see? The dead weight of men.
Sister Beatrice.
I didn't know what was happening. He bewitched me. He said he was the Holy Ghost. And it's happened before.
The Inquisitor nods to his guards who lead the nun away. Casanova steps forward.
You are charged with debauchery, trespass, heresy to wit, fornication with a novice.
Oh, she's hardly a novice.
For which the punishment is death by hanging tomorrow at dawn. And this time, your admirers in high places won't be able to help you.
Excuse me, Inquisitor. The Doge.
D'Alfonso.
Ah! Prince, we were just talking about you. What brings you here?
I have a special interest.
I have a special interest? This time, the prisoner has been condemned on the evidence of a nun.
A special interest in your witness.
Sister Beatrice.
I need a word.
The Doge, in his pointed cap, steps towards the window. D'Alfonso, the Inquisitor, reluctantly follows him.
For God's sake, D'Alfonso, don't you know who she is? No. She's Cardinal Lopresta's mistress in waiting. He entrusted me with safeguarding her virginity for him alone. She's leaving for Rome today. Your witness is Cardinal Lopresta's sister, Beatrice.
His sister? Oh, God, those Romans.
Think about it, Father D'Alfonso. Who's going to get the blame for dragging her into the Casanova file? Take your time.
Me?
The Doge tilts his head meaningfully. D'Alfonso goes back to his desk.
Signor Casanova, this seems to be another case of mistaken identity.
Oh.
You are free to go.
D'Alfonso dismisses Casanova with a peremptory wave.
You know I'm your friend, but I'm being threatened by Rome. Venice, I'm afraid, is perceived as a hotbed of... Well, as one enormous hot bed with silk sheets and heretical books under the mattress. The people here are given over to physical pleasure and skepticism.
The Doge waves from the balcony of his palace next to St. Mark's Square. Casanova, bareheaded and in a collarless white shirt, peers over the edge of the parapet.
Do not abuse my sympathy for you, Casanova. I'm expelling you from Venice.
Casanova runs after the Doge.
Your Excellency, all I do is worship beauty. There's no harm in that, is there?
Worship it in Paris, London.
No, I can't leave Venice.
Why?
I'm waiting for someone.
She may let you down.
No, she promised she'll come one day.
You don't understand. I'm expelling you from Venice for your own good. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you find yourself a respectable wife. A good woman from a good family will give you protection.
A wife?
It will soon be the time of Carnivale when authority winks at our indiscretions. And you're bad enough during Lent.
The carnival's only in a few days.
You'd better not waste any more time then.
The Doge sweeps off.
Meanwhile, you're on good behavior.
A wife?
No scandals.
Getting married.
Duels. Drunken escapades.
On a narrow Venetian canal, Casanova, carrying his wig and cloak, climbs from his gondola across the first floor courtyard of his palazzo towards a steep staircase.
Morning, Lupo.
We were worried about us.
We were right to be. We're getting married.
Oh. Ooh, congratulations. To whom?
I don't know yet. Any callers?
Landlord, tailor, wine merchant, the usual creditors. Look at the state of us. Where have we been all night?
Oh, it's like being married already. Can you get me some fresh clothes? We have some shopping to do.
Casanova and Lupo are at a pavement cafe.
Contessa Morelli d'Osto.
Yes, yes, yes. I would know she snores.
Yes, I remember. Ah, Lady Veronica Costello.
Heavenly.
Yeah. Duchess of Urfé.
Oh, yes. Mm. But didn't she poison her husband?
Did she?
Yeah.
Don't remember. Ah, Giulietta Badalamenti.
Sadly, she hasn't poisoned her husband yet.
Perhaps if we told us what we're looking for.
Well, I don't know. Our beauty, our modesty, purity,
all that.
Casanova's jaw drops as he spies a Madonna-like creature gliding over the top of a nearby bridge. A life-size effigy of the Virgin being carried by two men is followed by a young blonde girl wearing a lace veil.
Lupo, we have had a vision.
Both men stare at the effigy. Later, the real-life blonde sits gazing wistfully out of her window, unaware that she's being watched by a dark-eyed young man.
Still spying on your virgin? She'll never look this way if you don't make yourself known.
The whole town's talking about it. It's just appalling. You think those men liked hearing they're no good in bed? If they wanted that, they could go home to their wives.
Francesca, arrogance in a woman is not attractive.
She's not arrogant.
She's just angry.
Fruit, sir.
Can't defend your sister.
It's true. She knows she's smarter than most men, which makes men pretend to be superior, which makes her angry, which is seen as arrogance.
Giovanni, come away from the window. Our neighbours will think you're a gargoyle. No, Vittorio, over there.
Vittorio, the white-wigged servant, sighs.
Francesca, this is a very important week, as you well know. You have responsibilities.
Yeah, in a few days, thanks to you, I won't be poor anymore.
That's thanks to your father, who had the foresight to betray that to his rich cousin's eldest son in Genoa.
Listen to this. Mystery transvestite at university. Overturns laws of gravity. Conjures devil from the air. Nearly starts fire.
Francesca grabs the newspaper.
Oh, God, can't they get anything right?
Be thankful they can't. I told you I would not permit another such scandalous display at the university. There's too much at stake.
Mother, I don't want to marry him. Please, I'll be damned if I do.
Well, if you won't, I will.
Andrea gives her son a lofty look.
Oh, that's funny, is it? Well, I'm damned to be widowed and gathering dust.
Mother.
Brother and sister watch their mother leave.
Well done.
I know why you're like this about your fiancé.
Why I'm like what?
Come on. You're always slipping away in secret. And you're thin. It's obvious you've already got a secret lover.
Well, don't tell.
Giovanni, eating a piece of fruit, resumes his vigil at his window watching Vittoria Donato. He follows her gaze downwards, and his dreamy expression clouds over as he sees Casanova and Lupo hurrying towards the house, Lupo handing his master a package. Giovanni peers across at Vittoria, who steps away from the window.
Oh, hello. A gift for your daughter.
In Donato's garden.
Thank you, it's magnificent. But you don't know my daughter, and she doesn't know you.
Oh, yes, but I know her reputation, Signor Donato.
And everybody knows your Signor Casanova. Do you know, I've always wondered what you look like. Quite ordinary, I can see that. Well, how can I put this? Vittoria is that rare thing, a Venetian virgin.
Yes, one hears of them, but invariably it turns out that...
Donato's eyebrows shoot up.
I am sorry. Do go on.
Yeah, thank you. She's led a very protected life.
Yes.
Never has an impure thought crossed her mind.
Of course not.
She's never been alone in a room with a man. She's never even seen a man without his coat. I've made sure of that.
Yes.
There isn't anything I wouldn't do to ensure her happy innocence. She should be in a nunnery, but...
Heaven forbid.
Exactly. One hears things.
Yes.
On the other hand, there is you, Signor Casanova. The most notorious lover of women in Venice. Reputed to have the longest list of conquests ever known. A virtuoso. The intimate caress. The maestro of multiple.
Vittoria, hiding behind a birdcage, is aroused.
What was that?
But I will come to love her, Signor Donato.
It's out of the question. Your idea of love is sensuality. Right. To reduce women to quivering puddles of naked...
Vittoria trips and falls.
Are you all right?
I want him. I want him. Please, please, Papa. I'll never be happy without him.
She beams at Casanova. Her father's eyebrows shoot up again. Casanova playfully pushes his gift back across the garden table towards them. Victoria's ripe pink lips part to make way for a deep sigh. From his window, Giovanni, looking down to the street, sees Casanova kiss Victoria's hand, and she plant a grateful kiss on her father's cheek. His brown eyes smarting, Giovanni turns from the window. Casanova and Lupo bow to Donato and Vittoria.
Congratulations, we're engaged.
We are a marvel. I mean, actually getting married?
Giovanni sprints towards them.
You have sullied my glove. Love. My love.
I'm sorry, what did you just call us?
We didn't sully it. Came out of nowhere.
Thank you. You've sullied my love.
He slaps Casanova.
Vittoria Donato is my fiancée.
Is she?
Yes, in the sense that I'm going to marry her.
Ah. Well, she never mentioned that.
Well, of course she didn't mention it. I haven't asked her yet.
Oh.
Grey bewigged Casanova sweeps away from Giovanni, who slaps Casanova with the glove again.
Here, sir.
Well, you two working together now? Lupo.
Sancre Mori at dawn.
Listen, we decline to fight you, dear sir.
You coward.
We happen to be on good behaviour.
You have no right to decline to defend your honour.
It's our honour, so we have the right. He who gets slapped can insist on his rights. Those are the rules.
See?
Lupo gives a triple glove slap.
Now, what do we do that for?
I don't know.
Ha! San Cremori at dawn.
May I know of whom I have the honor to be killing?
Lupo Salvatore.
Lupo's mouth drops.
Thank you.
Oh, don't forget your glove.
Thank you.
Casanova throws Giovanni his glove.
Surely we don't mean...
What's this we? You slapped him, you fight him.
On a balcony of the Bruni house, auburn-haired Francesca watches the two men go off. Inside, she wanders through the ornate drawing room, tilting her head towards the sounds coming from another room, where Giovanni is fighting an invisible foe. Francesca blinks unhappily.
You're not laughing now.
Giovanni slips on the polished floor. In a courtyard, Lupo is practicing his fencing moves with Casanova sitting on the edge of a well. Casanova bites nonchalantly into an apple with one hand and fends off Lupo's lunges with the other. He scores a touch.
The apple. It's very distracting.
All right. I'll fight him.
He throws the apple.
I can be Lupo Salvatore.
To Lupo, who bites into it.
Bastard!
San Camori at dawn. Casanova and Lupo, both wearing masks, arrive at the duel site on horseback.
Signor Salvatore.
Giovanni bows and his mask falls off. Lupo pulls Casanova's gloves off. Giovanni introduces the family servant.
This gentleman is here to explain the terms of the duel and to see fair play.
Very good.
Your attention, please, gentlemen. Stay behind the line until I give the word. If one trips or falls, the other puts up his sword until I say continue.
Yeah.
If a sword breaks, your second hands you the spare sword.
Ooh, do we have a spare sword?
Yeah, we do.
First blood ends the duel.
Casanova's opponent lets rip. Casanova squares up to his opponent. And his hat is lopped off. Casanova forces his foe against a wall. Casanova scores the touch. He turns and walks off towards Lupo, who bows graciously. Casanova's opponent charges after him, landing a kick in his side. The two swordsmen dance around each other as they move under an archway. Casanova drops his blade, whips off his mask. Lupo retrieves the blade and ends up falling into the enemy's arms. He looks beadily at the masked swordsman and then at his second. He flips the second's mask off to reveal Giovanni.
Master! It's the old switch game!
Casanova's eyes dart towards the duelist he thought was Giovanni. He whips off the person's mask. It's Francesca.
You'd have killed him.
And you are?
Francesca Bruni. He's my brother.
Giovanni looks sheepish.
I'll take that, sir.
I'm sorry, Signor Salvatore.
Well, I should think you would be sorry.
They all ride back.
The whole thing was over a case of mistaken identity.
Mistaken identity?
Well, Giovanni got it into his head that you were courting Signorina Donata.
Did he?
It's all over Venice. The famously virginal Victoria Donata is going to marry the infamous rake Casanova. Do you know him?
Casanova, the philosopher, who devotes his life to the perfection of experience. Yes, I know him.
No, Casanova, the libertine, who devotes his life to seducing women.
Well, we're obviously talking about the same person.
There must be something deeply wrong with a man like that, don't you think? Something missing in his life, I don't know, true love, perhaps.
All love is true in different ways. I mean, to say I love falsely is as self-contradictory as saying I believe falsely. Huh?
Oh. You are a philosopher, too.
Well, I've spent countless hours alone with Casanova, pondering the ways of love and how it makes us at one with the angels.
And with the beasts. I will not debate with you if you take the side of a man whose idea of love demands a female sacrifice every day. Not that I have much sympathy for women who think no better of themselves than to be one of his playthings.
Casanova rides into a branch.
You tell your friend from me that what he imagines to be love is, in fact, self-love. And self-love is self-doubt.
Well said.
Yes. By the philosopher Bernardo Guardi, you should read him, Signor Salvatore.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, give me a man who is man enough to give himself just to the woman who is worth him. If that woman were me, I would love him alone. And forever.
Casanova's eyes narrow and he looks away, immediately glancing back at her with growing interest. She looks across at him with self-possessed assurance. At a canal jetty, Vittorio the servant hails a gondola as Casanova and Francesca dismount.
Goodbye, Signor Salvatore. If the fight had continued, one of us would have had good cause to be sorry. The one still standing, I think.
She strolls off, her arms nonchalantly folded. Casanova bows with a look of startled revelation in his eyes. He shakes his head wryly.
Francesca Brown.
Lupo talks to a tradesman.
Without
fail.
He said that last week.
I was a week early.
Go to hell.
I'll see you there, sir.
Thank you so much.
Honestly, I'm nervous. I cannot believe this man. I mean, does he know who we are?
He should be honored to be owed money by the likes of us.
Lupo.
What?
I've made a terrible mistake.
Without his wig, Lupo is totally bald.
You have?
Yes. I have to find her.
Casanova and Lupo are in a gondola moored alongside a market stall.
Master, I'm a little confused. I thought we'd made our decision.
Yes, I mean.
Casanova spots Francesca hurrying through the market. Her mother calls to her.
Francesca! He's arriving tomorrow. Your fiancé!
As a fiancé.
Well, so do you.
Giovanni is at a fish store.
Giovanni!
Good day, Mario. How are you?
Yes. Oh!
Oh, sorry.
Giovanni, more disgrace!
It's not picked up.
Casanova runs to help. Lupo goes after Francesca.
Allow me.
Thank you, madam.
Thank you, I'm sorry. Mama, this is Signor Salvatore.
I understand you've had an unpleasant encounter with my son this morning.
It was nothing more strenuous than a morning's constitutional.
Come along.
Andrea walks on, leaving her son with Casanova.
Sorry.
So your sister has a fiancé?
She's in love with Casanova.
Who is?
Victoria. My love, remember?
Oh, yes.
Engaged to Casanova.
Yes. Well, you'll have to beat him at his own game.
But how? I'm up against a world-class seducer.
Oh. Hello.
So, what would Casanova do?
I don't know. What would Casanova do?
Well, to start, he wouldn't mope around.
No, I suppose not.
Misery is not attractive. If you want to be loved, you have to be worth loving. That's the first rule. And second, be the flame, not the moth.
Hey, what could I do? The man clearly said to me, what?
The flame, not the moth.
Yes.
It's my tongue got very loud.
So your sister, is she happy with this new fiancé of hers?
No. She's never met him.
Really?
Besides, she has a secret lover.
Casanova's eyes narrow.
A secret lover?
Yeah.
Who?
Well, I don't know. It's a secret. Anyway, she's always sneaking off in the... See? Oh, I'm sorry.
Francesca comes out of a bookshop. Lupo, chatting to a woman, didn't spot her leaving. Casanova nods to him to follow. Giovanni, picking up the second lot of market wares he's knocked over, looks round in some confusion. Casanova jumps back onto the gondola. His eyes dart from side to side as he tries to spot Francesca among the many women in and around the market. He suddenly sees her in her hooded gown as she walks over a bridge past Victoria and Signor Donato.
Ah, Casanova!
We are buying Victoria's trousseau!
Casanova nods politely.
Only 3 days to go before the wedding.
Victoria grips the wooden rail of the bridge.
Casanova!
No intercourse before the wedding. I'm a traditionalist.
Donato bundles his daughter away.
I mean social intercourse, of course.
Paolo, get us off.
Lupo and his master run down a back street. Francesca comes past them down a narrow street, and they watch her stride towards a doorway. She casts a look over her shoulder before going in. Casanova and Lupo press themselves against a wall so as not to be seen. They see her close an upstairs window.
Secret lover.
Casanova gloomily jams his hat onto his head.
He's going to bang her to pieces.
Casanova slaps Lupo on the cheek and they step out into the narrow street. In a spacious office.
From Rome, the Inquisitor's office. A cesspit of heresy and fornication.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, let me ask.
D'Alfonso reads the letter.
127 complaints against Signor Casanova. Do we know him?
You'll see there are suspicions that Casanova enjoys the protection of this very office.
Oh, that's absolutely...
The clerk looks stonily at D'Alfonso.
It's either his neck or it's ours. It better be his. Give me my notebook.
Sometime later, Francesca emerges from the secret doorway. Casanova and Lupo hide behind their hats as she comes past, checking in her big leather bag. Casanova watches her go, then crosses to the door. It is unlocked. Warily, they creep inside. In front of them, in a dimly lit room, festooned with heavy drapes, they see two empty wine glasses and a plate with a few crumbs left on it.
Oh, dear.
Grimly, Casanova penetrates the gloom, past a table strewn with bundles of pamphlets, and on towards an alcove with a bed in it, where a figure lies on his side, fast asleep.
She's completely worn him out.
Casanova looks over to the snoring figure, and his brows knit with concern. Lupo picks up a pamphlet.
I found his name. He's a writer.
Subjugation of Women by Bernardo Guali. No wonder. He's entered her head and her heart as well.
Here we live in the midst of masculine domination. And what be the result? Half the population is missing from the feast.
You have no right to property and governance. No, you're not an opinion. If a man wants to have a woman fall in love with him, all he need to say...
Casanova picks up a quill pen.
All he need to say is, I have too long dominated the conversation. And what are...
Your thoughts on the matter?
What
are your thoughts on
Meet
the matter?
Meet at the tailor! So you are.
No.
Forgive me. Thank you, sir. Take care, sir.
What are your thoughts on the matter?
My thoughts? Well, I'd say...
No, Lupo, I'm... Could I have some tea?
Of course.
Madam, my fiancé is turning up tomorrow. What should I do?
It's simple. Do your duty.
Oh, is it my duty to marry a man that I don't know just because he's rich?
Yes, it is. Your duty to your father had your best interest at heart. Marriage is a safe haven, my darling.
And love.
Love. Love is something else. It's the weather being good every day. Because wind and rain are just another kind of good weather. That's love. Perhaps when you see him, you fall in love with your husband.
He's not my husband yet.
If you go against your father's wishes, we'll continue living in debt at the mercy of everyone we owe. But if you honor the betrothal...
The contract.
The betrothal. Then our troubles will be over.
Brown-eyed Francesca meets her mother's steely gaze, then looks away.
It's between you and your conscience.
Francesca nods solemnly as she contemplates what to do. The next morning, the pink dawn sky behind the domed church of Santa Maria della Salute gives way to bright daylight. Inside, kneeling at the confessional, Francesca crosses herself and takes a seat at the front of the empty church. Casanova, in a formal grey wig and black cloak, stands at the back of the church. He watches her, then joins her in the pew.
Signor Salvatore.
I do come here to make confession.
What are you doing?
What am I here to confess? Well, let's see. Jealousy. Pride. Covetousness. Despair. And you?
I came to prepare my soul for marriage.
She crosses herself and gets up to leave. He follows her out, unaware of the presence of D'Alfonso, pretending to pray, a few rows behind.
You're troubled, Signorina Bruni.
My troubles are nothing to you, Signor, and little enough to me.
To be bartered in marriage is no small thing, especially for a woman of independent mind.
I see my brother's tongue wags again. In future, he can fight his own duels.
You can't come in.
It's all right. I'm the doctor.
You're not Casanova.
No, I can prove it if you show me your chest.
Are you often in church?
I followed.
You're the carpenter, are you?
Surely it is your friend Casanova for whom fiancés merely add spice to the...
Well, if you knew Casanova, I believe you wouldn't be so quick to condemn
him. If you understood women, you would not be so quick to defend him. Love is not an affair of a night or a fortnight. And true love doesn't grow with a number of lovers. It wastes away.
Where's your instrument? I'll get it out in a minute.
Oh, but you can't blame those who seek love wherever they can. I mean, perhaps it's merely the murmur of the flesh that hasn't known the flutter of the heart. Meant for an evening, but not a lifetime. But can't that still be love all the same?
That seems you are trying to woo me, Signor Salvato, by offering to make me a notch on your bedpost.
Come now, we're speaking of Casanova, and I am a different man. You see, Casanova couldn't understand that of all the ways love can be true, there is one way. And that way is the sum of all the others.
Standing in a crowd of people watching a puppet show, Francesca's scorn dissipates as she turns to take a serious look at him. Casanova, standing very close to her, breaks the look and shakes his head.
Now, I've too long dominated the conversation. What are your thoughts on the matter?
Francesca's lips tremble and she stares at him in confusion.
What did you just say?
What?
She recovers her composure and hurries away. Casanova looks nonplussed as he turns to watch the puppets mocking him. At home, Giovanni finds his sister writing.
I'm in hell.
I'm busy.
Another note to your lover? I would tell him it's all over if I was you.
Go away. I'm marrying Capuzio.
She storms through Guardi's door.
What did I do?
Somebody came here, didn't they? Somebody who wanted to read your latest pamphlet before publication.
What?
Did you show someone my work?
I didn't show anyone anything. On the memory of your beloved father, whom I served so well.
Until he fired you for stealing. Where's the manuscript?
I took it to the printers like I always do. You write what you like, I get it printed under my name. Take a commission, everyone's happy except the priests.
She finds a white shoe.
These new shoes, Guardi?
Yes, church gave them to me, they don't fit.
Don't lie! This is an addition to page 5, take it to the printers.
Nobody came, nobody bribed me. Would I be sober if they had?
She hurries out of Guardi's house, unaware that Casanova and Lupo are spying on her. Guardi comes out.
That's him.
Lupo and Casanova exchange a look and set off after him. Skulking in the market, D'Alfonso fends off the unwanted attentions of a caged hen as Casanova and Lupo hurry past the vegetable stalls towards the bookshop. Lupo peers inside.
Add this to chapter 1.
Thank you.
Guardi hands over a manuscript to the bookseller, who takes it into the back of the shop. Casanova and Lupo step inside. Guardi's writings are on display, and the shop is full of ladies reading from them.
Guardi says, why should women lace themselves out of their natural shape?
Casanova.
Signorina.
A woman in black.
I left my window open.
My darling, there are so many windows and so little time.
Burn our corsets. Yes.
Lupo whispers to his master as the bookseller comes back into the shop. Casanova sidles up to the curtain and signals to Lupo. Lupo distracts the bookseller while his master slips through the curtain to the print room, where the pages of Francesca's manuscript are drying on a line.
In the heart of every woman, there is room for a pet. Dogs and cats provide solace and affection. How rare is the man who knows that the pet of choice for today's woman is the intelligent and noble pig. A pig?
I'll pay for the damage. I'm very well endowed. If you get my... I'm sorry, that came out wrong.
Casanova and a pink pig with a blue collar alight on the landing stage of the Bruni house. Francesca peeps over the parapet and rolls her eyes. As Casanova knocks on her door, D'Alfonso, passing by in a covered gondola, makes notes.
Will you tell your lady that Signor Salvatore is here with a gift?
My mistress says the pig cannot come in, but the animal will take.
The maid takes the pig and shuts the door. Looking nonplussed again, he peers up to the balustrade of the Bruni house. At his home, Guardi is slurping soup. The pig wanders in behind him. Wadley looks at the pig, puts down his spoon, and grabs the note tucked into the pig's collar. Written in Francesca's handwriting, it says, "Your services are no longer required." Guardi looks perplexed. At their home, Lupo is with his master.
I have news about the fiancé. His name is Patrizio. He's from Genoa. He's arriving at noon. He's rich.
Casanova sighs morosely.
Of course he is. Everything's turning against us these days, Lupo.
He glances over to his bored servant.
How much do we owe?
About 1,500 lire.
Lay out our second best suit, Lupo.
The two men exchange a scheming look. A fleshy-faced, substantially upholstered man with dark hair and wearing fine clothes stands on his ornately carved sailing ship. As it crosses the lagoon, heading for the Church of Santa Maria della Salute and the Grand Canal, his servant Fulvio stands with him. As the ship docks near a bustling market square, two customs officers approach the ship.
Who owns this tub?
I do, sir. And I am Pietro Patrizio, merchant of Genoa.
And what's your cargo?
Lard.
Lard?
Finest in the world. Tell him, Fulvio, tell him.
Yes, sir.
Fulvio.
Tub of lard.
Do you honestly mean to tell me you've never heard of my lard? Well, we'll have to fix that, won't we? I want to see one of these posters on every canal, street, water corner by morning, understand?
I'm here.
D'Alfonso, skulking by the fish market, sees Casanova appear.
Signor Patrizio?
At your service, sir.
On the contrary, I'm at yours. The family of your fiancé sent me here to greet you and to send you to your palazzo.
But palazzo? But I have a reservation at the Hotel Grafati.
Oh, they didn't tell you. The Grafati is closed.
Oh, really? Why?
Lupo?
Rising damp, sir.
Rising damp, indeed.
Palazzo, eh? Well, lead on.
My servant shall see to your baggage.
Well, I think you've got everything under control.
Lupo hands Patrizio's bag to Fulvio. They take a gondola ride and then climb Casanova's set of steep steps, with Patrizio somewhat out of breath.
First thing I'm going to do is call upon my betrothed. After I make myself presentable, of course.
Yes, and how long does that usually take?
D'Alfonso reads out his notes.
Casanova bought a pig. Casanova took the pig to the Bruni house.
Guards storm into D'Alfonso's office.
Clear it. Everything.
They seize him and sweep the papers off his desk and onto the floor. The books and papers on his secretary's desk are next to hit the ground. Only the furniture and globe remain standing. D'Alfonso struggles to hang onto his notebook.
I'll take that.
Both men, each held by a guard, watch as a personage with ginger curls, wearing a black hat and fur-collared black coat, turns from the window with a look of haughty disdain. He sits in D'Alfonso's chair. His assistant, Adelini, hands him a goblet and removes his master's hat. The scornful-looking man who wears purple gloves wipes the rim of the goblet and drinks from it. D'Alfonso grins nervously.
Inquisitore D'Alfonso, I am Bishop Pucci.
Oh, Bishop.
I have been instructed to relieve you of your duties here in Venice. To say that the Pope is less than happy with your rate of progress is an understatement of monumental proportions. You and your entire staff have been reassigned to open a mission among the natives of...
Andolini checks the globe and sneers at D'Alfonso.
The equatorial region.
What kind of natives?
Let us just say, shall we? They have a great hunger for religion.
Bishop Pucci smirks as D'Alfonso and his secretary are led away. Pucci dons wire-rimmed specs and starts to read. Patrizio.
So this place belonged to the libertine Casanova, eh?
Yes, but he ran out on his debts, so we got the villa at a very reasonable price.
Really? How reasonable?
Lupo?
1,600 lira.
Yes.
Patrizio tosses Lupo the money.
Get a receipt.
Of course.
Lupo hands Casanova the money.
Do I get a bath for my 1,600 lira?
Pucci.
Casanova bought a pig? Casanova took pig to Bruni house? Casanova met with Patrizio at dockside. Took Patrizio to his house. Is there anybody here who can explain this?
You sent them all away to be eaten.
Ah, well, then we shall have to do some footwork ourselves.
He prepares to go out.
Fabrizio, the pork fat mogul from Genoa?
We're here to discover heresy and criminal licentiousness. If there's bacon involved, I dread to imagine the depths of depravity we're going to find here in Venice.
Do you know, I'm surprised, but I have a good feeling about this city.
Do you?
Yes, there's a massive market for lard here, and I plan to use a good old bit of Genoan know-how to penetrate it.
Good thinking.
Handbills, newspapers.
Oh, yes, that's just what Venice has been missing.
Do you know, that's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
You have to keep an eye for that servant.
What? He's gone out. He's gone out. Why am I supposed to know?
Ah! Aha! I've arranged a trinket for my beloved. Little wedding present for my bride-to-be. Would you like an advanced demonstration?
Yes, please.
Lupo and his master, who've been poking about in their guest's travelling chest, step towards the painting Paprizio's about to unveil.
Oh, it's very nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Exquisite. Really? Yeah. Who is it?
Casanova looks away awkwardly as Paprizio, not in the least put out, stands close to the flattering portrait of himself wearing a red hat and waits expectantly for one of them to spot the likeness. Lupo tilts his head, but just can't see it. He nods to Casanova for help. Paprizio dejectedly moves the portrait back into the next room. Casanova cringes with embarrassment.
Is that him? How am I supposed to know that?
In Paprizio's travelling chest, Casanova finds a book by Guardi with a personal dedication from Francesca.
What are we looking for?
I don't know. Something.
Paprizio lies back in his hot tub. Water seeps out over the edge. Casanova dips into the Guardi book. He slips it into Lupo's hand as Fulvia returns.
I found the house, sir. Signora Bruni and her daughter request the pleasure of your company for tea.
Good, good. The chartreuse then, I think, Fulvia.
Right away, master.
Fulvio tiptoes round the tub, avoiding the pools of water.
I'm certainly looking forward to seeing her. Hope that she's not disappointed by me. Hope that she doesn't think I'm. I don't know, what's the word? The expression I'm looking for.
Rotund?
Excuse me, what did you say?
Would sir require a small snack before tea?
Well, do you see that trunk shaped vaguely like a salami?
Yes.
It's filled with salami.
Lupo and his master are conferring as Paprizio, in a gold ensemble with a chartreuse green waistcoat, poses for them.
Oh, there you are.
Oh. Yes. Oh, now, very impressive.
Thank you. May I say the choice of lime in particular is very slimming.
You're too kind.
Well, I must be off. Didn't I have an appointment?
Lupo.
What? Oh, there. The publisher.
That was it. I must see how my new book is doing.
Oh, you're a writer.
Well, yes, I've been known to scribble a bit.
Oh, bravo.
My master's a famous writer of love and how to please ladies. You've heard of Bernardo Guardi.
Lupo.
Hush.
But he's a friend, sir. I'm so sorry.
Bernardo Guardi?
Sorry.
I can't believe it. Allow me to interrupt.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
You, sir, are Bernardo Guardi.
It's my nom de plume, but you must swear to tell no one.
I swear. On my honour, sir. My solemn vow.
Very good.
Bernardo Guardi. Fulvio, this all needs some thinking about. Yes, it does. It's my great honour, sir.
A little later.
Look at me.
I am.
Now look at that.
They both look at the portrait.
Yes, in truth, it is not an exact likeness, no.
Yeah. In Genoa, we call it advertising.
Yes, fine, but so what of it? If she loves you as you are...
She's never seen me.
Oh.
Not even a glimpse.
Really?
Yes. Oh, dear, Master Guardi, take me under your tutelage, I beg you. I'll pay you handsomely, whatever you like. I'll pay it.
You want me to tutor you?
I want you to transform me. Transform me.
Oh, my dear man, but you have but an hour until we must meet her.
I'm not going. I don't want to go. You can't make me go.
Look, as it happens, my new book, which isn't out yet, deals with the outer man.
He removes the plate of salami.
You see, the relation between the physical and the spiritual is little understood.
He pats Paprizio's fleshy arm.
Except by me, of course.
Paprizio's breathing quickens with excitement.
Maestro Guardi.
Yes.
Can you make me look like that?
Yes, I can.
Oh, God.
But it will take courage. It will take time. Long confinement to this villa.
Courage, yes.
Do you understand me?
I understand. Fulvio, I will send my servant Fulvio to the house of Bruni with a note.
Oh, no need. I will be passing that way myself.
Oh, excellent. Can we start? I want to start right now.
Lupo?
At his window, Giovanni watches Victoria trying on her wedding dress.
Love.
He glumly rests his chin on his hands.
Giovanni! Signor Paprizio is expected at any moment.
Andrea wears a long blonde wig. Next to her, Francesca sits stiffly.
Signor Salvatore.
The two women rise as Casanova bows to them with a flourish.
Vittorio, tell Signor Salvatore I am not at home.
Vittorio looks mystified.
Now, how strange. I'm sure that I was invited to tea.
You were?
You were not having tea. Forgive me, I must have forgotten an invitation.
You told my servant, I believe.
We were expecting Francesca's fiancé.
Indeed, and here he is.
Francesca stops in her tracks.
Ladies, forgive me. It is time I presented myself under my true colours. Signorina Bruni, my name is not Salvatore. You see before you your most devoted and fortunate fiancé, Pietro Paprizio, all the way from Genoa.
Casanova, looking the height of elegance, bows to them.
Signor Paprizio.
Francesca drops the tea tray.
You see, all the young women I met back in Genoa concealed their true natures from me, dazzled by dreams of an empire of pork. They looked at me and they saw a mountain of lard.
No, 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 not at all. If anything, you need fattening up. I don't like thin men. Francesca's father was enormous.
Nevertheless, I remained true to the fiancé that I'd never seen. But I wanted to make sure, before I declared myself, that she likewise had kept herself for me and hadn't been seduced by the first charmer that came along with a...
pig.
Casanova is rendered speechless.
Perhaps you are the charmer you warned me against, Signor. I'm engaged to be married, and so far all I know about you
is... perhaps you remember sending me this.
He produces the Guardi book.
To Pietro Paprizio from Francesca Bruni, with my hopes.
She looks at the dedication.
Perhaps I should have brought the other letters you wrote me.
Slowly, she turns to face him and looks at him levelly, her suspicion allayed, her hostility diffused. Casanova's eyes bore into hers with passionate intensity. They stroll across the room, away from Andrea.
The only desire I have is that you'll come to love me. And if you cannot, or if there is someone else for whom your heart beats in secret, then I shall release you from your engagement.
There isn't.
His Eminence, Bishop Pucci.
All bow to Bishop Pucci, except Francesca.
Perhaps I've come at a bad time.
No, no. Your Excellency, we're delighted.
I really should have sent word, since I've just arrived in Venice, and as your husband, the late ambassador, was so regarded by the Holy See, the Pope was anxious to be remembered.
Allow me to introduce my son-in-law to be Signor Paprizio.
Casanova kisses Pucci's hand.
Signor Paprizio.
Bishop.
My daughter Francesca.
My dear.
What is the Pope's most feared inquisitor doing in Venice, Bishop Pucci?
Francesca.
No, no. I'm delighted that my reputation precedes me. The Vatican has sent me here to deal with certain moral problems in the city.
What kind of moral problems, Bishop?
Oh, the usual. Fornication, heresy.
How exactly does the Church define heresy?
Francesca!
I hardly think heresy is a fit conversation for a young lady.
Why? Can't we be heretics?
I think my fiancé, Bishop Pucci, wishes to learn more from you, perhaps. If you please.
Very well. Heresy is an affront to the teachings of the Church. It is a rebellion against our mores and our morals. More to the point, and you will understand this, Signorina Bruni, since you are a woman and understand women's ways, hence the concept of whim. Heresy is whatever I say it is.
Pucci bites into a ripe plum.
For example, that writer fellow, Bernardo Guardi. He is a heretic.
And why is that?
Vittorio, where is the tea?
Guardi's words tea. Cause women to feel dissatisfied and men to doubt their manhood.
Really?
If you are an admirer of this Guardi fellow, I have some very sad news for you. He's written out. My colleagues are scouring the street for him as we speak.
Oh. Vittorio staggers in with a tea tray. Francesca flees the room.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Bishop, will you take tea?
Thank you, no. I have people to see.
Signorina Bruni.
Casanova catches up with her.
May I have the honor of accompanying you to the carnival ball?
She nods distractedly and goes. Casanova smiles faintly as he watches her hurry away. Meanwhile, Guardi's being hustled out of his house. Francesca rounds a corner and sees him being taken away.
You've got the wrong man! Let me go!
Come on!
The pig scuttles out through the doorway. Shaking her head in despair, Francesca runs to the bookseller.
I have an urgent message for you from Bernardo Guardi.
Who are you?
Never mind who I am. The chief inquisitor from Rome is here and he is out for blood. You must hold back on publishing the new pamphlet.
You're a little late.
Oh, my God. Stop selling it.
Sorry.
Yes, yes. That's what it says. The pig.
Really?
Well, I've always owned pigs.
Oh, tit.
There's a long queue of people in the shop. Meanwhile, Casanova strides along a street past two men putting up a lard poster on a wall. Inside a weaving factory with his sleeves rolled up, Casanova goes to inspect some material, pays for it, and then hurries home.
Right. Now, make sure it's ready in time for the ball.
Ah, master.
How's the treatment going?
Well,
is he any better?
Yeah,
it's impossible he could look any worse.
It's impossible.
Is that you, Maestro? Maestro Guardi, is that you? Hello? Who's there?
Good God. You've achieved the impossible.
Thank you.
What exactly have you smeared all over him?
Lard, mostly.
Lard.
A mint jelly.
Hello?
A few coffee grounds.
Yes, yeah, coffee grounds. Well done. Signore.
Is it you, Maestro?
Yes, I appreciate you.
How do I look?
Well, let's see. Yes, that's very good. Yes, it's coming on quite nicely.
I've been asking your man for a mirror. He can't seem to find one for me.
Oh, Lupo, a mirror?
I can't find one.
After application of all your advanced techniques, I'm terribly anxious to check my progress, you see.
Yes, of course.
Oh, there you are, Fulvio. Good man.
Patrizio's on his back with his arms chained above his head. His belly is covered in Lupo's mixture. His double chin is encased in a net.
It's working. It's working, isn't it?
Yes.
It's working.
Oh, marvelous. Yes, expected.
You took my regrets, of course, to the House of Bruni.
Yes.
Good, bad weather, some such.
Yes, of course I did.
What for Francesca? I've told her I'd take her to the carnival ball tonight, but I do think I need just a bit more time.
Yes. I think you're right. You do need some more time. Listen, don't you worry. I'll handle that.
Good man.
You stay here and relax. Lupo, a little more around the belly, I believe.
Yes, Lupo, more on the belly.
Lupo slops on more gloop. Coming down on Annie, Casanova is seized.
Signore, Bishop Pucci wishes to see you.
Of course. My name is Bernardo Guardi, but I'm not the Bernardo Guardi.
Come along now, Bernardo. There's no shame in being a writer. Let's play a little game, shall we? I'll read you a sentence and you finish it. A woman is heir and... And what, Bernardo?
I don't know. Trouble? No, wind? Air and wind?
No. I'll give you a little clue, shall I?
Go!
Casanova's taking tea with Pucci.
Oh, it's not the tea I object to, it's the water. So, Signor Patrizio. How well do you know Casanova?
Casanova nearly drops his cup.
Be careful how you answer. I could become interested in you.
Pucci sits back in D'Alfonso's chair, which bumps against the wall.
I was less than frank at Signora Bruni's. It is Casanova I have come here to hang. That vile fornicator who spits upon the teachings of the church. Are you following me? Good. So why did you go with Casanova to his house?
I'm renting it from him.
You're renting it?
It's strictly business, of course.
Business?
I believe he went out of town for a day or two.
Out of town?
Yes.
Ah. Well, if I know anything, he's hardly likely to absent himself from Carnevale.
Hmm.
Signor Propriziano, if you would help me put an end to this vile fornicator's career for good and all, believe me, the church would be very grateful.
How grateful?
The lard concession of the Vatican, which is a lot of lard.
It's quite an attractive offer.
So, we have a deal. You will help deliver Casanova unto me?
As sure as my name is Paprizio.
Excuse me, Your Reverence.
No.
This Bernardo Guardi we're racking, I don't think he is the heretic. I think someone is just using his name as a nom de plume.
A nom? Don't be clever with me, Angelini. What do you mean you think? The Inquisition is not paid to think, you have to be sure.
Well, I am pretty sure. He can't read or write.
Ah. Casanova rushes home.
Lupo! Lupo! There is no lover!
What?
There is no secret lover.
What?
She never had one.
Joking.
Fireworks light up the dark skies above Venice, and Casanova watches them with shining eyes.
Carnivale.
Alongside the pink facade of the Doge's Palace in St. Mark's Basilica beyond, crowds mill about the square, applauding a troop of tumblers and two white-faced performers juggling with burning torches. A man and a woman walk on stilts, towering above the crowd. Pigs on leads have been brought along to the festivities. Pucci, with an ear trumpet attached to a long rubber tube, is eavesdropping on people's conversations.
Talk to pigs all week.
Darling, have you seen my husband?
I am your husband.
Any sign of Casanova, sir?
Andolini.
I don't know what he looks like, but he's bound to be here. He wouldn't miss the carnival. Ah, Signor Patrizio. See, everybody's here. We just have to find them.
Casanova, with a mask on a stick, glides past with Francesca on his arm. Inside the magnificent Doge's Palace, a pig with a ruffled collar looks around as couples move gracefully across the floor. Up in the Donato house, Victoria closes her window, watched from his window across the street by lovesick Giovanni, huddled in a blanket. His eyes drift up to the sky at the sound of more fireworks, then settle back on Victoria's darkened window. Signor Donato appears in the room, looking for his daughter.
Victoria?
He opens the window. Giovanni peers down.
Victoria!
And sees Victoria in a hooded cloak, scurrying away from her father's house. A dark-haired beauty appears out of the shadows.
Evening, sir.
And smiles up at Giovanni, her fingers touching the top of her low-cut dress. Giovanni grins. At the ball, guests are being presented to the Doge.
Signor Pisani and the Signora.
You're welcome.
Signor Paprizio of Genoa escorting Signorina.
Signor Paprizio of Genoa escorting Signorina Bruni.
You're welcome.
Casanova is hidden behind a mask. The Doge frowns.
Signor Dandolo and the Signora.
Then smiles graciously.
You're welcome.
The masked couples form figures of eight as they link arms and circle each other. Casanova peers over the top of his white mask.
Signor Paprizio!
Ah, Mother Bruni.
We must introduce you to everyone we know.
Yes, well, this should be interesting.
Will you do me the honour, Signora? May I?
Well, I'm free.
Be my guest.
Andrea, unmasked, is invited to dance. Casanova flips his mask from white to black.
Signor Casanova, I have a message from your fiancée.
Ah, which one?
Signorina Donata. She's in the piazza. She's waiting for you to escort her in.
Good Lord.
Flipping his mask back to white, Casanova slips out. Francesca, dancing, notices him leave. In a bordello where couples are canoodling, a heavy curtain opens and a young woman smiles playfully as Giovanni comes past her through the doorway towards the lovely brunette who sits on a double bed, smiling invitingly.
Come.
Shyly, he sits on the corner of the bed, keeping his eyes lowered. The girl moves closer to him. He fidgets nervously.
Don't worry. You're not my first virgin.
She cups his chin in her hand at the entrance to the Doge's palace.
Victoria.
Ah. Casanova.
Pucci and Andolini are skulking nearby. They watch Victoria and Casanova bowing to each other.
Something is not right. Do we have the address of Casanova's house? Mm. Then I think now is the time for positive action.
Lord and Lady Devonshire.
The Doge is almost dropping off.
You're welcome.
Signor Casanova and the Signorina Donata.
The Doge's sleepy face brightens.
Signor Casanova,
Enchanting. I'm so very pleased for you. And me. When's the wedding?
Soon, Your Grace.
You're welcome.
Ambassador Gritti and the Signore.
On the dance floor, Andrea is blissfully unaware of what is going on as Casanova, holding Victoria by the hand, hurries her through the throng into another room.
My darling?
Giacomo, where can we go? Find somewhere.
Find somewhere?
Anywhere. Oh, no. I can't wait.
My darling, sit down.
Very good. Now you wait here for me and I'll come back with a glass of wine.
Her cat-like eyes gleam.
Oh, how wonderful to see you.
Looking round, she sees her father and she slips under the table. Casanova looks round and can't see her. He turns this way and that in confusion. He walks past the circular table. Victoria pulls the front legs of a chair towards the table, causing Casanova to sit in it.
What are you doing down there?
He struggles to maintain his composure above the table. The table, laid with candelabra and sweetmeats, is rocking. He staggers to his feet, covering his groin.
We danced off our feet.
You danced off your feet. How lovely, lovely.
Victoria under the table tugs again. Andrea throws her head back.
Ah, that's better.
All right?
Yes, I'm fine. Ah, signore.
Yeah.
It's Signor Donato from across the canal.
It's Signor Donato from across the canal.
I just said that.
May I?
Please. Thank
you. Casanova can barely keep his seat.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just hot.
I didn't see you in church.
Well, I was there.
I know, but I wasn't. Do you know, Signor?
Yes, I'm the future son-in-law.
That's right.
Yes.
Congratulations are in order.
Yes. Thank you.
No.
No?
No, I mean...
No, yes, congratulations are in order.
I just said that.
Francesco looks at him in puzzlement.
Congratulations to you. You must be very pleased for Victoria.
Ah. Oh, that reminds me. Have you seen Victoria?
Oh. Casanova's breathing heavily.
No, that's true.
I thought she'd be here with her fiancé, but...
That's true. I haven't seen her anywhere. I had forbidden her to come, but she has defied me.
She must have changed.
She has. I suppose getting engaged to the famous Casanova has gone to her head.
Sorry. What is the matter with this table?
It's a good table, it's fine. I'm a traditionalist, you see. No intercourse before the wedding.
Social intercourse.
There's somebody under the table.
Well, what? Which table?
This table.
A pig scuttles out from under the table. Casanova leaps to his feet and sees Victoria fleeing from the room. Bishop Pucci.
Is this the palazzo, Signor Casanova?
Yes, sir. Right in here, Your Excellency.
Lupo bursts through the room where Paprizio lies on his back covered in lard and takes a running jump straight out of the window.
So, Signor Casanova, not out of town after all, I see.
Pucci and Andolini gape at big-bellied Paprizio.
I somehow find it difficult to believe that this is what women want.
Yeah. Yeah, little piggy. Come, little piggy.
Andolini.
Sir, I think...
No, you don't think. Just do what you do.
Treatment. I don't like this part of the treatment.
Paprizio hangs on a rack in Pucci's torture chamber.
So, what progress?
He seems confused.
Fornication on a massive scale leads to confusion.
Pucci whips a cloth off Paprizio's eyes.
Signor Casanova.
I'm Paprizio of Genoa.
Unfortunately for you, Signor Casanova, I am intimately acquainted with Signor Paprizio. I've had tea with him.
Ask Fulvio. Fulvio, tell him.
Fulvio, swinging from side to side in an Iron Maiden suspended from the ceiling, passes a piece of paper to Andolini.
Sir.
Pucci and his reading specs peers at the paper he's been handed. He takes a closer look and sees the name Paprizio with an unmistakable likeness of the man himself above it. He looks from the illustration to the large man on the rack.
So who is... So you are Paprizio?
Oh, it's what I've been saying, stupid.
Well, Signor Paprizio, maybe you'd tell me the whereabouts of the owner of the palazzo where you've been staying, Signor...
Guardi.
Signor Bernardo Guardi is my host here. I'm staying at his place and I'm taking his course and he designed my treatment.
Do you realize Guardi is a heretic?
Your Reverence, Bernardo Guardi is a nom de plume.
Pucci bristles with excitement.
If Bernardo Guardi is a nom de plume, perhaps the plume's nom is Casanova.
Casanova?
Was staring us in the face all along. The glorification of women, etc. Boring, boring, boring. Casanova is Bernardo Guardi.
Bravo, Your Reverence.
Good Lord, he's taken my fiancée to the ball.
Not for long, he's not. Andolini, get your men together and come with me.
Where are you going?
I'm going to the ball.
Well, so are we.
Casanova looks around the ballroom through the small eye holes of his white mask. He spots Victoria, who wears a simple black eye mask, and he sidles up to Signor Donato.
You're right, she's here.
Where?
Right over there, see? You should take her home. You see, I'm a traditionalist myself.
Signor Valmarana and the Signora.
Pucci arrives.
Ah, at least someone's made an effort. Excuse me. I say, at least somebody's made an effort. Now that is purple. That's not Venetian, is it? Now, am I wrong? Now, is it London, Paris, Rome? Rome? Is it, it's almost a papal purple. It reminds me of something. Don't tell me.
Inquisitor Pucci.
Inquisitor Pucci.
The Doge's smile fades.
Yes, I know. I heard you were in Venice. Come for a dance?
I'm here to arrest Giacomo Casanova.
Casanova is about to marry a young woman famous for her modesty. His slate is wiped clean, and he's under my protection.
Does your protection extend to heretics? Beware, Doge. Your city's freedom dangles from the belt of the Vatican.
Pucci leaves the Doge's presence.
You're welcome.
On the dance floor, Pucci and Andolini try to spot Casanova.
Hey!
Ladies in crinolines in two lines dance an elegant minuet. Fabrizio, restored to his former glory in his coat woven with gold thread, climbs the steps of the Doge's palace.
Admiral Massimo Canal and Signora.
Casanova whispers to Andrea.
Where's Francesca?
My name is Pietro Fabrizio and I'm from Genoa.
What?
Andrea's eyes widen.
Signor Fabrizio of Genoa.
Andrea, who looks barely older than her daughter, gazes at Fabrizio, who's standing by himself looking round him. Casanova, holding his mask in front of his face, makes himself scarce. Fabrizio notices Andrea standing still among the other women who are dancing. Her brown eyes feast on him. Her lips are parted in excited admiration. Fabrizio looks away, but his eyes are drawn back to her. And surreptitiously, he polishes his front teeth to make them shine. Andrea, in a long curly blonde wig, holds a delicate fan in front of her face and steps slowly towards him.
Signor Fabrizio.
He bows politely.
From Genoa?
Is your name...
Bruni.
She shows him her face.
I'm your future.
Oh, I never dreamt you'd be so beautiful.
Me?
She swoons in his arms.
Oh, dear. Why?
No, I'm your future mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law?
Yes.
I'm not betrothed to you?
No, to my daughter. Some people find her beautiful. There's a man who's after her.
Oh, really? Does she like him?
Signora Bruni, your daughter has been duped by none other than Casanova. But worry not. It's as good.
Fabrizio grabs Pucci by his scrawny Roman neck and lifts him off the ground.
Why don't you stop interfering?
What?
He lowers the bishop to the ground.
Thank you.
Pucci readjusts his face and leaves them.
Oh.
Andrea smiles invitingly at Fabrizio. He smiles back. Casanova, behind his mask, walks along an arched arcade. He spots Francesca standing by herself, looking preoccupied.
Signorina,
I was afraid I'd lost you.
As one might lose a pocket watch, Signor Papritio, or some other valuable possession.
She takes his arm.
I know that no man will ever own you, but to be your defender on the road you travel, to show you the world as you've never seen it, for that I hold my hopes. Let's start by taking you one step closer to heaven.
He invites her to look out at the water. Francesca's lips part in awe at the sight of a hot air balloon waiting on the other side of the Grand Canal. With the bright lights of Venice behind them, they alight from a water bus, step up onto a landing stage, and walk towards the glowing yellow, green, white, and orange striped balloon. Casanova pulls on a rope to hoist the burner up towards the skirt of the balloon and ties the rope down. Francesca, standing next to him in the basket, gazes in wonder. Casanova throws out a bag of sand.
One, two, three.
Together they throw out the other two bags, and the balloon begins to rise. It floats gently up towards the dark night, past a tall watchtower. On the St. Mark's side of the canal, people's faces are tilted upwards as they watch the progress of the balloon, among them Andolini and Bishop Pucci, who crosses himself.
Witchcraft!
The expression on Andolini's face is one of admiration.
Actually, Your Reverence, I believe it's because hot air rises, overcoming the gravitational force of witchcraft.
From the balloon, Francesca has a ringside view of the firework display above the rooftops of Venice. Behind her, Casanova pours out two goblets of wine. She accepts hers with a smile. Far below them, among the crowd, Signor Donato and daughter Victoria are also watching.
Look! It's Casanova with his new fiancé.
Victoria's face crumples and her mouth gapes.
Ah!
Pucci.
Casanova! Come on.
Andrea.
Is that Francesca? It is her.
Oh, that's Francesca.
I've never seen her look so happy.
Oh, really?
Such bad news for you, Signor Papritio.
Papritio gives Andrea a knowing look.
Oh, calamity. She's thrown me over.
Disgraceful.
Oh, well, a scandal.
They look as if they're about to jump on each other.
You're a free man.
Oh, dear. What will I do?
They exchange another significant look, and surreptitiously Papritio takes Andrea's hand in his. She throws her head back in rapture. In the balloon above them, Francesca and Casanova are standing side by side, gazing down.
Thank you, Signor Papritio. I'm beginning to believe that your heart is true. There is more of the lover than the merchant in you. Why didn't you tell me you were my betrothed? You didn't trust me.
Well, why didn't you tell me you're Bernardo Guardi?
Francesca turns from him in sudden panic.
It's all right, I won't tell anyone. I should have guessed the first time I saw you in that citadel of male complacency. When you were as brave in debate as you were later in duel.
She looks away from him, letting his words sink in.
You were Bernardo Guardi in Beauty's Mask. I'm in love with you, Francesca.
Slowly, she turns to face him.
You were at the debate?
Yes, I was.
At the university?
Francesca. Just as you had honest reason for not telling me who you were, I too have honest reason. What?
Behind them on the facade of a building is a larger-than-life poster for Papritio's lard. Francesca gasps, and Casanova shuts his eyes in despair. She rounds on him.
I can explain this.
Are you Papritio? Tell me you're Papritio, my betrothed.
Casanova bridles awkwardly.
Who are you?
I'm Casanova.
What?
Giacomo Casanova.
You stand for everything I write against.
Wasn't that before you knew me?
I don't know you. Which one of you?
She grabs the wine bottle and pours it in the burner. The balloon starts to sink.
I think I liked you better in your masks. At least Salvado is a gentleman. Fabrizio was promising, but Casanova I despise. You dare to say you love me. I will save myself for the kind of love which a man would give his life for.
The basket plummets to the ground, sending people sprawling. The balloon envelope floats down after it. Pucci and his men hurry to the quayside as Casanova, having misplaced his wig in the crash, helps Francesca out of the basket.
Casanova!
Signor Casanova, I'm here to arrest you as a fornicator, a charlatan, and above all, a coward who hides behind the name of another. Signor Bernardo Guardi. And as Bernardo Guardi, I arrest you as a heretic.
What? He's not.
Oh, yes, signorina, he is.
He's not.
Francesca, don't. No.
Casanova shakes his head firmly at her.
I'm Bernardo Guardi.
Pucci, smiling loftily, waves his purple gloved hand, and Casanova is led off after him. Francesca watches him go, her emotions in turmoil. Casanova is locked up. A young woman in a hooded cloak hurries along to a covered gondola.
Bishop Pucci.
Victoria steps inside.
How can I help you, my dear?
At Casanova's palazzo, Lupo sits morosely at the table with the deflated balloon envelope on the floor in front of him. He idly kicks the fabric and heaves a sigh. Picking up a corner of the material, he examines it, and an idea crosses his mind. He starts to stuff the fabric into a bag. Victoria sits next to Pucci in his curtained gondola. Pucci stares through a telescope.
I was a virgin. My virginity was my most cherished possession. My gift from God. My gift was taken from me.
Tragic and most damnable. What was the name of this vile seducer?
Giacomo Casanova. When Casanova came to my room and robbed me, I fought for my honor.
Are you saying, my dear, that you would be willing to give me the testimony that I need to hang him?
Yes. But I would worry about my reputation.
Of course. But I think we could say, if everything went according to plan, we could return your reputation and your virginity to you.
You could do that?
Oh, yes. We are the Catholic Church. We can do anything.
Meanwhile, at the bordello, Giovanni seems to have got the hang of it with several young ladies at once. Another customer is waiting patiently outside the boudoir.
Excuse me, when is my turn?
In prison, Casanova sits brooding, all bravado gone from his face.
Ah, give me a man who is man enough to give himself just to the woman who is worth him. And if that woman were me, I would love him alone. And forever.
In her room, Francesca's attention is drawn to the sound of singing coming from outside. Looking down through the window, she sees her mother and Signor Paprizio canoodling besottedly, like two teenagers, in a gondola, moored at the Bruni landing stage. Francesca smiles good-heartedly at them. Turning from the window, she paces reflectively. Her intelligent dark eyes shine with resolve as she comes up with an idea. At her desk, she writes with purpose. Coming down a back street, Victoria sees Giovanni emerging from the bordello, surrounded by girls.
Are you sure I don't owe you anything?
Oh, on the contrary.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
He takes leave of his new fan club and comes down the street.
You're the boy in the window.
Signorina Donata.
We won't forget you. You'll be a legend among the girls.
Victoria smirks teasingly.
This is terrible.
Why?
I've loved you hopelessly for years.
Why didn't you say?
Giovanni's anxious face lights up. In the Doge's palace, Casanova, with his hands in chains, is brought to face the tribunal, presided over by the Doge.
My lord, the prisoner is being represented by a Dr. Giordano of Padua.
Casanova's eyes narrow.
Then I call the defense, Dr. Giordano.
It is a case of mistaken identity, Your Grace.
What? Mistaken identity?
Yes. This man is not Bernardo Guardi.
Oh, yes, he is.
Yes, I am.
Ah, you see?
He is protecting someone.
No.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Not. Protecting who?
Francesca, in male disguise, looks intently at Casanova.
The woman who loves him.
Casanova's public expression remains impassive, but his eyes burn with intensity.
If you are who you say you are, perhaps you could indulge the court with a few samples of your more renowned philosophies on women.
He looks away awkwardly.
Look, if I've said that I am Bernardo Guardi, does that not suffice?
My lord, must we listen to this stuttering heretic? He has self-confessed.
Is that all that you require? A confession?
Well, yes, I suppose so.
Good.
She takes off her specs and peels off her false moustache.
Because I am the one with the manuscripts written in my own hand, I'm the only one with proof that I am Bernardo Guardi.
The Doge.
You?
Francesca, do you really think I'd let you die for me?
Well then, release the prisoner Casanova. My lord, let us not forget this is a court of law. We still have a self-confessed heretic. And we also have a notorious seducer, an adulterer, a violator of virgins, whose guilt I will prove by the testimony of...
No!
Victoria addresses the court.
It wasn't true.
Giovanni grabs her hand. The Doge sighs with relief.
By the testimony of no less than 127 sworn statements attesting to the libidinous lust of Giacomo Casanova. There is only one verdict open to this court. Guilty. And one sentence. Death. Death to the heretic Bernardo Guardi.
No!
And death to the master fornicator, Giacomo Casanova.
The Doge, faced with a bundle of sworn statements, looks on helplessly. Casanova's eyes dart around the court at his supporters, Giovanni and Victoria, Donato and Lupo. Francesco looks across at her mother and Signor Paprizio. The Doge lowers his eyes. St. Mark's Square is packed with onlookers as Casanova and Francesca, their hands tied behind their backs, are led through the crowd towards a scaffold, where two hooded hangmen in short-sleeved shirts and black breeches stand waiting for them, a noose behind each man. High up on the balcony of the Doge's palace, the Doge and his entourage watch as the condemned duo are led towards the noose, with the winged lion, the savior of Venice, towering above them on top of a column. Pucci, seated in front of a plush gold and red drape, tilts his head idly towards Andolini, who sits next to him.
You did say the Cardinal's coming.
We did, sir.
As the noose is placed over his head, Casanova's eyes are fearful and he swallows hard. Giovanni with Victoria on his arm, Andrea and Paprizio watch from the thick of the crowd. Francesca, with the noose around her neck, bites her bottom lip. Casanova, in collarless white shirt and black breeches, stares straight ahead, the rope round his neck constraining his breathing. Lupo tries to push closer towards his master. Andolini.
Your Reverence, I don't think we can wait any longer.
Oh, very well. I shall have to do it without him.
Purple-gloved Pucci rises to his feet on the specially constructed stand next to the Doge's palace. Francesca, the rope tight about her neck, turns her head stiffly towards Casanova. His frightened eyes meet her reassuringly loving gaze. They both blink back tears. Pucci, his gloved hand raised in the papal two-fingered gesture, turns sharply. A coach drawn by four horses trundles into the square. Pucci sits down with a visible sigh of relief and nods to Andolini. Bearded Cardinal Lopresta, in red vestments and red skullcap, clambers out of the gilded coach, followed by a heavily veiled woman. The Cardinal climbs up onto Pucci's stand.
Sorry, we're late. Canals, etc.
Your Eminence, Bishop Pucci.
An honour to meet you at last. I've heard so much about you.
Thank you.
What's happening here?
Oh, just hanging a heretic. And Casanova.
Ah! What luck!
The Cardinal indicates his veiled companion.
My nurse.
Ah.
And does your nurse enjoy executions?
Does the Pope have a balcony? What I actually came to say is this.
The Cardinal steps towards the front of the stand.
Venetians! Greetings from His Holiness. As you know, today is the Pope's birthday. And...
Did you know that?
And in honor of his birthday, His Holiness has decreed a papal pardon for all those who would be executed on this happy day.
No, Your Eminence.
Free the prisoners! Free the prisoners!
The prisoners are released. Above on his balcony, the Doge raises his arms in delight.
Your Eminence. No!
You don't seem to share the Pope's happiness on his birthday.
No, I do. How old is he?
Not quite sure.
Pucci scowls as Casanova and Francesca are carried aloft through the cheering crowd.
Best day here, Pucci. Crowd's turning ugly.
Casanova and Francesca bow to the Cardinal.
Please join me in my coach. We're leaving for my country house.
The Cardinal's companion stops in front of Casanova and slowly raises her veil to reveal an attractive woman in her 40s. As he raises his head to meet her gaze, Casanova's eyes flicker in surprise. Keeping an otherwise straight face, he bends down to kiss her hand.
I'm so sorry I'm late.
The Cardinal.
My fault. I'm to blame.
Tito, the love of my life. This is my son.
I've played cardinals before, of course. You may have seen me. Anyway, we left our troop in Trieste when we heard the news. Had to move fast.
Hey!
A young boy rubs the paintwork on the coach.
Mom, the paint is wet.
Pucci's ears prick up.
It says, theatre troupe here.
Another coach arrives in the square.
Cardinal Lopresta has arrived!
Arrest those impostors!
Casanova elbows his way through the crowd and he and Francesco run for it. Andolini tears down the steps of the stand. Casanova's mother jumps on the coach and picks up the reins. As Casanova and Francesca hair through the throng. A nun leans out of the real Cardinal's coach.
Casanova!
The Cardinal's coach pulls up alongside the imposter. Sister Beatrice sits back down on the Cardinal's lap. On the ground, Paprizio whacks one of Andolini's guards. The lovers race up onto the scaffold and Francesca thumps a guard. Victoria, Andrea and Paprizio clamber into Tito's coach.
On you get, darling. Quick as a bunny.
Paprizio elbows another guard.
I didn't know it was the Pope's birthday.
Giovanni hangs onto the outside of the coach and Lupo pulls himself up onto the back. On the platform, Casanova rams a guard's face. Francesca takes a flying leap and lands on one of the horses pulling the coach. Casanova, grabbing one of the ropes, drop kicks another guard and almost in slow motion swings himself down onto the horse next to Francesca. The cheering crowd parts to let them through. At the back of the coach, Lupo checks that his wig is still in place and sighs with relief to find that it is. The Doge waves with clenched fists. Bishop Pucci looks distraught. Next to him, the real Cardinal seems vague.
So, how goes things?
In the coach, Paprizio squashed with Vittorio and Andrea.
It's very exciting, isn't it?
A wheel dislodges some brickwork, almost sending Fulvio flying.
This is the last time I'm travelling coach.
Hold on, everyone!
The coach bringing with it a line of washing starts to speed up. Lupo on the back throws down his cloak to trip up some pursuing guards.
Hang on!
Giovanni hanging onto the side grimaces as he sees a low bridge and a canal ahead of them.
Easy, boy! Whoa.
Lupo jumps down and, putting his feet firmly on the ground, strains to slow the coach down. Tito pulls tight on the reins, and the coach stops right on the edge of the canal.
Everybody off!
As they all jump off, Paprizio addresses Francesca.
Hello, darling.
I'm your future stepfather.
I was always faithful to you.
I never had any doubt. None at all. Come on, darling.
Let's escape on my barge. It's by the water.
Grabbing Andrea by the hand, he leads them round a corner, straight into Andolini.
Attack!
Let's go, big.
They're in an open square. Casanova takes on two guards. Giovanni grabs a blade. Paprizio thwarts a guard. Victoria is seized.
Giovanni!
Giovanni grabs the guard and Victoria kicks him where it hurts. Casanova and Francesca run on. Paprizio slaps a guard with his heavy cloak. Victoria runs off with a guard's hat. Giovanni grabs a blade and turns to fight. Casanova and Francesca both display their swordsmanship. Victoria holds out the black hat tauntingly to a guard and brings out a blade from behind her back, deftly sending him reeling. One guard grabs Casanova from behind as he fends off a guard at his front. Casanova headbutts his hind attacker. Giovanni loses his blade and sidesteps a direct lunge. Casanova grabs a sword and tosses it to the younger man.
Step lively, darling. Excuse us. Out of the way, excuse us. This way, darling, this way. Oh, I can't wait for you to see the boat. Here's the boat. Oh, here we go, round this way. On your new boat. Here we go.
Oh, Victoria.
Careful.
Behind you.
This way.
Oh, no, my baby. Listen, you're staying behind with me.
On the quayside, Victoria's father grabs her by the arm.
Prepare to sail, men!
Paprizio peers up at the mast. There are no sails.
Oh, dear.
Lupo looks cunningly into his shoulder bag.
Victoria, do something useful.
Signora,
something
what
useful.
Can I do?
Casanova and Giovanni hare towards the quay. Casanova casts off the hawser.
I can't come with you. If I do, they'll follow us both.
Francesca gasps.
What?
You mean they'll follow Casanova?
That's right.
Giovanni takes a deep breath.
What if he never left?
Casanova looks up sharply.
I could do it.
Well, there's more to this than just the name, you know.
I wouldn't mind being Casanova.
I wouldn't mind being on that boat.
And I wouldn't mind my wedding.
Giovanni licks his lips and gives Casanova a how about it look. Casanova shakes his head and laughs. Giovanni jumps off the boat and kisses Victoria.
Lupo, where are you going?
I'm staying.
Why?
I'm a Venetian, sir. My place is with Casanova.
Casanova nods approvingly at Lupo.
Take care of me, my good friend.
Of course, master.
Lupo hoists a bundle up towards the masthead. Giovanni, with waistcoat discarded, raises the gangplank, and Casanova gives him a courtly bow. Playfully, Giovanni returns the bow. Andolini and some men hurry up onto the little wooden footbridge leading to the quayside. Lupo tugs furiously at the rope. His bundle reaches the masthead, unfurls, and the multicolored striped envelope of the hot air balloon billows out in the breeze. Pucci staggers over the wooden footbridge.
Asaran!
Casanova, wearing Giovanni's waistcoat, tosses his blade over the side of the ship. Giovanni catches it and scoots off into the crowd. Pucci's guards step onto some gondolas. Lupo and his new master scurry away over the wooden footbridge. Pucci tumbles on his back on the floor of a gondola. Paprizio's ornate barge glides out towards the lagoon, with the wind filling the balloon envelope like a spinnaker sail. On the back of the vessel, Casanova and his mother are sitting side by side.
I told you I'd come back.
She puts her arm around his shoulder and snuggles up to him with a loving smile. Closing his eyes, he hugs her tight. Francesca sits with Tito.
Oh, it's a wonderful life. An actor's life. You'll love it.
She looks him squarely in the face.
Who writes your plays?
Under the ever-present gaze of the winged lion, the ship is now little more than a round speck on the horizon. The heavens open, and Tito cuddles his lady in the rain.
Come inside.
Clearly besotted, they kiss. Elsewhere on the barge, Paprizio and Andrea are happily getting wet.
Lovely. Just my kind of good weather.
Paprizio turns and kisses his new love, and she kisses him right back. Francesca, also in the rain, holds out her hand and smiles invitingly. Casanova takes it and bends down to kiss it. She strokes his face and pulls him towards her, their lips parting and melting into each other.
Which is why the story of Casanova and Francesca isn't mine to tell.
The old man writing by candlelight.
Victoria and I lived happily ever after.
In a gondola, Victoria makes eyes at the gondolier.
Just not together.
Giovanni smiles at a passing flower girl.
Venice. So, soon enough, in people's minds, Casanova was back. If I may say so, I believe I rose worthily to the occasion and added many glorious chapters to the legend. While I kept the secret of the true love of the man who was Casanova.
Casanova, rehearsing with Francesca and the troupe, laughs. The end. IMS audio description written and read by Veronica Hicks. DVD mix by Aquarium. Casting by Rona Kress, CSA, Priscilla John, CDG. Co-producer Guido Cerasuolo. Original music by Alexandre Desplat. Associate producer Mishka Cheko. Unit production manager Enrico Ballarin. First assistant director Mishka Cheko. Second assistant director Richard Graysmark. Italian casting by Lilia Trapani. The cast. Casanova was played by Heath Ledger, Francesca Sienna Miller, Pucci Jeremy Irons, Paprizio Oliver Platt, Andrea Lena Olin, Lupo Omid Jalili, Donato Stephen Greif, D'Alfonso Ken Stott, Casanova's mother Helen McCrory, mother's lover Tito Lee Lawson, the Doge Tim McHenry. Giovanni Bruni, Charlie Cox, Victoria, Natalie Dormer, Guardi Phil Davis, Vittorio Paddy Ward, Andolini Ben Moore, Fulvio Adelma Togliani, Casanova's grandmother Lydia Biondi, Casanova 11 Eugene Simon, Cardinal Lopresto Robert Levine, Sister Beatrice Lauren Cohan, Sister Magdalena Danielle Baker, Professor Benedetto Clive Ritchie, Beautiful Masked Woman Marta Bellocchio, Masked Casanova actor Adriano Jurecevic, actor Giorgio Bertan, Bookseller Printer Niall Buggy, Beautiful Woman in Bookshop, Simonetta Bortolozzi. Customs Officer, Francis Pardilhan. Major Domo, Enzo Turin. Bruni's Maid, Carolina Levy. Lolling Streetwalker, Paola Pessot. Prostitute, Elizabeth Riva. Whore 3, Monica Valerini. Boy, Nicholas Raymond Capriati. Dark-haired Beauty, Nike Rivelli. Fair-haired Woman, Sarah Guerra. Another Woman, Marta Paola Ricaldi. Another Beauty, Giorgia Ricciardi. Woman in Bookshop, Christy DiBicari. Plain Woman in Bookshop, Jessica Seaton. Plain-looking Woman, Anna Gaia Marchioro. Laughing Man, Lorenzo Felisati. D'Alfonso's Secretary, Roy Delina. Whispering Woman, Sylvia Nanni. Young Man, Paolo De Giorgiro. Flunky Captain, Alessandro Bresanello. Society Woman, Caterina Volgiova. Drunken Reveller, Davide Bozzato. Reveller, Catherine Galt. Beetle, Renzo Martini. Woman, Laura Pigozzo. Casanova actor, Federico Skriel. Lady actress, Manuela Massimi. Gondola singer, Tommy Kerberg. Man in brothel, Brian Korenberg. Pig, Bimba. Dialect coach, Jerry Grenell. Stunt supervisor, Gianluca Petrazzi. Fencer arranger, Bill Hobbs. Horsemaster, Angelo Ragusa. Horsemaster assistant, Gabriele Ragusa. Coachman, Franco Ariano, Beniamino Gili. Stunt double Casanova, Claudio Pacifico. Stunt fencing double, Vittorio, Diego Guerra. Stunt fencing double, Francesca, Tatiana Romanova. Stunt double, Donato, Tito Tomasini. Stunt double Casanova's mother, Anna Maria Zamperla. Stunt double Lupo, Walter Colombioni. Stunt double Giovanni, Emilio Novelli. Stunt guards, Pietro Torisi, Ronaldo Zamperla, Bruno Di Luia, Alessandro Borghese, Umberto De Luca, Massimiliano Ubaldi, Mauro Caterini, stunt rigger Roberto Libertini. Shot on location in Venice with the special collaboration of Comune di Venezia. Venice Film Commission. Songs by Johann Helmlich Roman, Tommaso Albinoni, Jean-Philippe Rameau, Leonardo Leo, Antonio Vivaldi, Francesco Durante, Giovanni Paisiello, Vicente Martini Soler, Casanova's Lament, Music Traditional, Original Lyrics by Bjorn Ulvaeus, performed by Tommy Kerberg, Arcangelo Corelli, Jean Ferry Rebel, Juan Ambrosio Dalza, George Friedrich Handel, George Philip Telemann, Fabrizio Carosso. Soundtrack available on Hollywood Records. Production historical consultant Danilo Riato. Calligrapher Brody Neuenschwander. Costumes provided by Angels the Costumiers, Animode 68 Costumes, Rome. Costumi d'arte, Farani, GP11, Lambert Hoffer, Rome. Nicolao Atelier, Venezia. Sastelleria Cornejo S.A. Tirelli Costumi, Rome. Wigs provided by Rocchetti and Rocchetti, Rome. Shoes provided by Pompei, Rome. This motion picture was created by Gondola Pictures, Inc. for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. Touchstone Pictures. This film is rated R for some sexual content.